You're listening to SBS News.
President Joe Biden has, for the first time, referred to Russia's invasion in Ukraine as a genocide. Mr. Biden was speaking in Iowa at an event about steps his administration is taking to staunch rising fuel costs because of the war. He termed the conflict, which has seen Russia carry out atrocities against Ukrainian civilians, as a genocide.
I'm doing everything within my power by executive orders to bring down the price and address the Putin price hike. In fact, we've already made progress since March inflation data was collected. Your family budget, your ability to fill up your tank, none of it should hinge on whether a dictator declares war and commits genocide in a half a world away.
Mr. Biden had previously stated that he did not believe Russia's actions amounted to genocide, as Ukrainian officials have argued, but rather were war crimes. The United States and its allies are pushing ahead with further sanctions aimed at forcing President Vladimir Putin to spend Russia's money propping up its economy rather than sustaining its war machine for the fight in Ukraine. Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo, one of the main U.S. coordinators on the Russian sanctions strategy, says the goal is to make Russia less able to project power in the future.
President Putin a few weeks ago said that in response to our sanctions, the Russian economy was going to have to transform. What he didn't say was the quiet part out loud, which meant that this transformation would mean that the Russian economy is less flexible, it's smaller, it's less able to project power into the future. Last week, data showed that new car sales in Russia had fallen by over 60%. The IMF and independent forecasters expect the Russian economy to contract by more than 10%, and that Russia's economy will get smaller over time due to the sanctions and export controls that we've put in place. So those are the signs that we see of the sanctions working.
President Putin says that Russia will press on with its military operation in Ukraine until its goals are fulfilled. Speaking during a visit to the Vostochny Space Launch Facility in Russia's Far East, Mr. Putin said the campaign is going according to plan, adding it is not moving faster because Russia wants to minimize losses.
As for the progress of the operation, I can often hear questions if we can do it faster. We can. It depends on the intensity of military actions. The intensity of military actions is somehow related to losses, unfortunately. Our goal is to achieve all objectives, minimizing losses.
He said the military operation will continue until its full completion and the fulfillment of the tasks that have been set. Mr. Putin says sanctions will backfire against the West.
If our partners aggravate the situation in the financial insurance sphere, in the area of transport, including maritime transport, then the situation will deteriorate for them, among other things. Food shortages or incredibly high prices on world markets will lead to hunger in regions throughout the world. It's inevitable. The next step would be a new wave of migration, including to the Western countries.
UN spokesperson Stefan Dujarric says millions of Ukrainians are facing a crisis, with two-thirds of Ukrainian children having fled their homes.
Nearly 7 weeks into weeks of intense hostilities continue to drive the world's fastest growing displacement crisis in recent history. An estimated 7.1 million people are now internally displaced across the country, while more than 4.6 million people have crossed borders to seek security and safety in other countries. That's according to UNHCR. As you heard yesterday, almost two-thirds of all Ukrainian children have fled their homes. More than two-thirds, excuse me.
Mr. Dujarric says damage to the water and power infrastructure has led to outages that left around 1.4 million people in the eastern part of the country without access to water, and another 4.6 million people with only limited access to it. United States High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, says that while Ukraine has added a huge number of people fleeing to the global refugee crisis, it is unfortunately not the only troubled region.
The message that I'm sure everybody will agree here around the table is that that crisis should not make us forget everything else. We've been dealing intensely together with the Afghanistan situation for the past few months, but there are many, unfortunately, many crises in Africa, in the Western Hemisphere, that involve a huge displacement component, and therefore I look forward to continuing our cooperation.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says tens of thousands of civilians have been killed, a figure that has yet to be independently verified. As peace talks seem to flounder, when or how the conflict ends remains to be seen, but retired British General Richard Behrens believes Russian forces will likely try to encircle the Donbass region from the north and the south at the same time.
That gives the Ukrainians a much bigger challenge. As to the outcome, it's finely balanced right now, because if the Russians learned the lessons of their failure so far and could concentrate more force and could connect their air force to the ground forces better and could sort their logistics out, then they might start to overwhelm the Ukrainian positions eventually, although I still think it would be a battle of enormous attrition.
General Behrens explained that the ground in the Donbass region was flatter, more open, and less wooded, so the Ukrainian ambush tactics used around Kyiv may be less successful. The retired general estimates the Russians had lost about 25% of the ground forces they started out with. According to U.S. intelligence, the Ukrainian city of Mariupol is still being contested as President Putin vows that his government's violent offensive will continue until its goals are fulfilled. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says that Russian troops, whose efforts have been thwarted in their push towards Ukraine's capital, are now focusing on the eastern Donbass region, but was unable to confirm reports that the Kremlin had conducted a chemical attack on Mariupol.
Our assessment today is that Mariupol is still contested, and that the Ukrainians are still fighting to defend Mariupol from a Russian seizure of it. That we cannot confirm these reports. That have been emanating on social media about the use of potential chemical agents, obviously taking it seriously, and we're monitoring it. We're trying to do the best we can to figure out what, if anything, happened, but we're not in a position to confirm it right now.
It comes as Ukraine's deputy defense minister says it was possible that phosphorus munitions, which cause horrendous burns but are not classed as chemical weapons, had been used. Members of the U.S. Congress have said the Biden administration and its allies will not stand by if chemical weapons were deployed in the conduct of hostilities. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.